Imagine there's lots of discomfort, physical. If there is, that's what you got to be aware of. So, you know, if you haven't done much sitting, you're kind of out of shape. You have to bear with it. If you do some stretching before each sitting, that's helpful. Very helpful. Go for a walk. With discomfort, it makes you restless, fidgety. You want to get rid of it. You want to leave, obviously. So the resistance to discomfort is what you have to get in touch with. So there's the physical sensation, and then there's the aversion to it. And the aversion is biological in some sense, because you need to take care of your body. But there's a difference between pain and discomfort. And pain is when you have to move on, you hurt yourself. But discomfort is just part of being incarnate in the body, you know, part of the package. So learning to be with discomfort in a peaceful way is an important lesson. But not to hurt yourself, you know, not just out of an act of will. So that's part of the learning. So like for me, I have had two knee operations, and I know in my left knee and my right knee, I know a certain kind of pain. As soon as it comes, I move out of it. But I don't have to, I know it'll just be destructive. You know, no sense, won't be bitter. No, I know you so well, I'm out of here. So that's just skillful. But there's other kinds of, you know, sore here, sore there, whatever, that part of the rotten posture I have, or is just part of the package. And that becomes just part of the background. When it becomes the foreground and I begin to get averse to it, that's what I have to look at. How can I make it the background? So I use space. I use the concept of space. So I just open the mind, and then there's the flow, and the discomfort sort of demanding my attention, right? And I just see if I can relax away from that. So it's a kind of a learning. So walking meditation, the way I, like when I started monasticism, we were just, we were told to just go to our huts and practice meditation, and what we did was just sitting and walking for hours and 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 hours at a time. Really long, long stretches. And we didn't get much instruction. Basically, watch your feet, watch your nose, watch your mind. So a lot of it's just, again, I like the image of craft and learning through doing. Learning through doing. And what are we trying to achieve? We're trying to be peaceful. In the containment of a form, right? So we're giving up to a form and seeing how can it be at peace with this situation rather than change it all the time to something I like. And it's extremely good situation, so we're lucky at it. But anyway, so walking meditation, and the idea then is of, you know, alternating postures so you can sustain awareness in a very simple way for long periods of time. So you know, the whole complexity of life. So walking meditation is again, it's that sustaining of presence, awareness, sustaining of the awareness of the mood of the mind. What's the mind doing? Where is it going? And just beginning to notice how the mind likes to go to certain places, the place of fantasy or creativity or negativity, whatever it might be, and just beginning to see that as an object rather than being the subject. That's the skill. Not rejecting it, but then beginning not to believe in it. So in walking meditation, you simply use the physical sensations of the body moving, the feet touching the ground, soles of the feet. Some people trying to get very controlling with this. I've never found that helpful for myself. So they make a strong determination at one end of the path, I'm not going to think. And then they really... And then they hate meditation. So too much control, too much sense of I had to control, has never brought me any joy. in peace. I can control it for a while, and then just kind of goes scattered again. Whereas I found more helpful, like just including everything, but then trying to notice the mood of the mind, not go there. So that isn't the kind of control, like, so there's a central object of attention, the body, bodily feeling, feet touching the ground, but there's this overall sense of there's thought and there's environment, and making, so it's like I make the body the foreground, but there's still the background, thoughts coming and going, moods coming and going, so there's an overall awareness. And so then as I'm walking, I begin to see, oh, there's a particular mood, I'm worried about my mother, or thinking about building the monastery, or whatever it might be. Oh, that's the mood. So there's a recognition, and then a choice to shift back to the feet touching the ground. So it's not kind of coercive and willful and that. So it always has this sort of sense of peace and wisdom in it. Because that's what you want to do, right? You want to do things from peace and wisdom rather than from coercion, such as making no effort and just walking back and forth for 20 minutes and building a complete new monastery is not the game either, right? So we can get very, very much lost. So if you get very, very lost, then stop and stop. Just stop and just, it's like the breathing. If you get very lost in thought, stop with the out-breath. Just hold the out-breath. Your mind will stop. You just get that sense of stopping. You can't do it all the time, you die. Stop the walking, just kind of open the mind. So what you're doing is you're just starting to break up the continuity of discursive thought, the continuity of the sense of self, I've got these problems and I have to do this, kind of breaking that up. See, that's just a chunk of consciousness coming and going. And behind it is this lovely space of knowing, space of peace. So you do that, and you're so, your mind's really caught up with some complexity in your life. And you have to deal with it eventually, sure, but now you just stop. Listen. Know that mood. Get to know the mood, and you know the thoughts. So one of the things you find in kind of classic meditation is the contemplation of space and form. But in this room, you have form, you have structure, you have color, you have people, you have names, you have texture, you have sound, you have smell. Those are forms. They're objects in space. To know the space, what do you need to do? You need to take your attention off objects. Right? If you take attention off objects and you know the space, well, you can't pin it down. It's there. So it's more nebulous, right? You can't. But I find it very relaxing. So what happens, as an analogy, then that's the space in the room. Space outside, where's the limits? Has no real limit, it's not hot or cold, but hot or cold exists in it, is the idea. So take that internally to your consciousness, to your mind. There are forms, there are emotions, there are all kinds of these birds flying around right now, ducks and eagles, and there are memories, there's heat, there's cold, there's like, there's dislike, there's fantasy, all kinds of little creatures and objects going on in the space. So to know the space of the mind, you have to take your attention off the objects. And the way you do that is to notice the end of the thought. Because when your thought processes are broken by, but it's usually pain, or like in a sitting, it's usually pain or sound. You're thinking about something, and I say something, or someone coughs, and then that. And that thought ceased. The sense of self has ceased. It's just, and then just to notice that, the end of the thought. So you can do that deliberately. You can like, if you're doing walking meditation or sitting meditation, and your mind's very active with something, then take that theme, or take something more simple, and just take today is Saturday. Right? Just a sentence. And then make a determination to say that. Before you say that, notice the mind's not thinking. Notice the space. And then today peace. Third, who knows the space? Space and thought. Thought is a form of space, space and form. We don't recognize space because the object is so riveting, distracting. So thought's a very distracting bunch of objects, aren't they? Discursive thought, literally, it kind of takes up our attention. If we try to get rid of thought, then we're still caught in objects. We don't notice the space. So it's a struggle with thought. If we just are habitually inattentive, say, and our attention is caught up with thought, there's no, then awareness isn't available. You know, it's kind of incarcerated with thought or just taken by thought. So the middle way between trying to get rid of thought and just being a victim of thought, as it were, is to notice thought as an object, to notice the end of a thought, to notice the space around thought. So I can have, like, I can be maybe upset about something and have a whole bunch of thinking around it. But if I notice the thought, then also notice the body. The body's very upset. And I'll notice the space. All of those things are going on. So space is a way of kind of contemplating where the freedom of the mind really lies. It doesn't lie in objects, because objects are always very nebulous, they're changing, very unpredictable, out of control. Where space is something which hasn't got the qualities of objects. It has no, space doesn't have really a quality, does it? So learning to abide in that, or recognize that, is a very peaceful way of developing your practice. And then watch your, like, when you notice that your mind is very much involved in discursive thought, do you make a judgment about that? Or didn't even notice it? Or how do you go back to the object of meditation? You know, what is your, what kind of intention and energy are you putting in? So you're always learning, aren't you? You're learning about how you make effort. The moods of the mind which produce thought. So that's what insight is about. You know, insight is the wisdom faculty seeing, this is how it works, and this is how to bring the attention to a sense of calm, to a sense of space. And then you can repeat that. You repeat that because you become adept, because of wisdom and training. It's not because of just a willful attempt to become peaceful. No, you know these moods, you know this body, and you know what leads to peace and what doesn't lead to peace. So there's a kind of sense of confidence in that. So, like this afternoon, we have like a 4-hour session. So you get a long session of sitting, walking, sitting, walking, sitting, walking. And that's a long time of doing nothing, as it were. But what's really skillful about it is that you're just contained. So I do suggest that, like, stay with the whole 4 hours. You stay, like, really use it. Don't kind of think, well, I've done an hour, I'll go sit in a chair. It's fine to sit in a chair, but then usually just kind of, the mind can even go to la-la land. And that's all right. But you get a chance now to kind of, like, sustain mindfulness for longer periods of time. That's why the formal postures are good. Just to, like, sitting, walking, it kind of defines your practice. That's why we talk about formal practice. And not that you can't be mindful laying down or in a couch or eating the porridge, you know, it's all mindfulness practice. But learning to set up like a walking practice, what I found, like with walking practice, because in Thailand we do a lot of that, and I did a lot of that because especially early on, I really liked this. It's so restless, and I was a young guy with a lot of energy and not much wisdom. So, you know, trying too hard But then just the walking, I began to get a sense of, this is a nice posture. So the walking itself began to be referred to the peace of the mind. Because I did it, just like this posture now, for me, has a whole memory reference to the meditative life, contemplative life, right? So same with the walking meditation. So in the walking meditation, try to find a place in the house or outside where you've got a bit of walking space, width here or the hallway or your room, short or long, if it's short, fine, whatever. And then use the ends of the path as the points, like the in breath and out breath, you know, change from in to out. Make those the markers of stopping. So even if you're, like, even if I was just walking back and forth here, and my mind is worried about the monastery or something, when I get to the wall, I wake up. And oh, that's the end of thought. Note that. And then you turn around quite deliberately. Note that. Rather just kind of doing circles and thinking all the time. So this like points of breaking it up. Oh. And then as you break it up, you notice the mood is producing the sense of the self and the thoughts. And then you turn around and just establish the awake mind. Bhutto, taking refuge in Buddha. This is the Dharma word. Whatever. And then you feel the body. And then you feel the walking. Right? And you add those moments up. Do it for 4 hours to get a lot of mindfulness. Now within that, you're going to get disinterested. You're going to think this isn't working. Or you might get blissed out. Hope so. And then if you do get blissed out, the next one you won't. So whatever, whether it's bliss or whatever, this is the way it is now. See, a refuge isn't in the experience, it's in the knowing of experience. So I find, like in walking meditation, it seems very bland. Like nothing's happening. But don't worry about that. Nothing needs to happen. You're just grounding yourself in awareness. Let love take care of itself. So let's go do some. If your body is good for sitting, go for it. You know, stay here and do some more sitting practice. Otherwise, try to find a space, do some walking practice, and then we'll have a bell at 11. Is it right?